I'm not going to need this. Oh, okay, okay. That's okay. I'll use it. I'll try. My name is Alan Jones. I'm a recovered alcoholic and drug addict. Hi. It's good to be back home. I'm honored to be here. Thank you, Chris, for asking me to be here. It's always a pleasure to come back home. And throughout the next couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you this place saved my life. Not just Austin Recovery, but the Alumni Association particularly. And I'll tell you a little bit about that as I go along. I met God right out here by this propane tank. It says, does it still say no smoking on it? Does it? Back in 2006, there was a big sign on there that said no smoking, and I had like five of them going at once. And the tech at the time came out and said, you can't smoke right there. And as I was flipping him off and drinking my coffee and saying, yes, I can, I met God. He came up over the horizon, over those trees over there. It was the most beautiful thing I'd seen ever. I'll tell you a little bit about that as we go along. There's a part in this book, and I brought my original book out here, in the doctor's opinion, that said men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. And for me, that was very true. I started drinking and using when I was 13 years old, and I found out very quickly that I could go from this guy to this guy. Yeah. that was my discovery very early on, and I chased that effect. I went to my first treatment center, oddly enough, called Austin Recovery. At the time, it was on MLK. Or any old people? Thank you. Yeah. Like it was, I think it was called REAP back then, and part of Austin Recovery. But I didn't want to be there, and so I stood on my head in the corner and played the yes sir, no ma'am game, and walked out of there with my certificate and went right back home to a dysfunctional system. I'm not saying that my family was dysfunctional. I'm saying when you put me in that family, it becomes dysfunctional, yeah? I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict of the high order, and I am a tornado through everybody's life that I'm involved in. That includes my family. So I got thrown out of UT because I didn't go to class and went to a different college, a smaller school, and graduated from there, oddly enough, with a bachelor's degree in computer science, and I could barely check my email because I never went to class. I played baseball, and at the time, back in those days, nobody really cared that you weren't going to class, so it didn't matter. I'm old, and so back in the 80s and early 90s, nobody really cared that you weren't going to class, and so they just kind of graduated me along, and I got a phone call from an organization called the Toronto Blue Jays and found out that they had drafted me to play professional baseball, which is really cool. Yeah, if you can show up. Unfortunately, the only thing I had learned how to do in about 21 years of life was how to not show up for important things. They gave me a ton of money to play a game for the rest of my life, and 30 days later, they wanted their money back. Now, it's hard to give somebody a bunch of money back when the money's at the crack house. You know what I'm saying? So back to treatment I went, and this went on and on for years. My first treatment center was at 19. My last treatment center was right here, full circle. Oddly enough, right here at Austin Recovery when I was 39 back in 2006. I got sober July 17th, right here. And in that 20-year span, it would never happen to me, right? You with me? That will never happen to me. Like, prison, homelessness, eating out of dumpsters behind Popeyes, needles in my arm and neck. It will never happen to me. Sucking on glass pipes. Look at some of y'all, man. I swore up and down it would never happen to me. And I don't know about anybody sitting in this room right now, but I never wanted to go to jail. Like when I was a little kid and people used to run over to me and say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never said I want to be an alcoholic and a drug addict. Anybody? No. Yeah, one. We got one. We got two. We got three. Holy shit, man. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'll stop doing that. I don't mean to cuss. Little ones. It's disrespectful. I never said I want to be a drug addict and an alcoholic, and that's where I ended up. I never said I want to be homeless. I never said I want to eat out of dumpsters behind Popeyes. I never said any of that. What I said was I want to be a doctor. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be blah, 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 blah. And ultimately, I said I want to be a professional athlete, and I had that chance. And I'm no different from anybody sitting in this room right now. We all had our chance. And I'd like to talk to you tonight about turning that had into a have. Because we still have that chance to be what we want to be. And I don't know if you can see them, but goosebumps right here. You with me? God bumps. Thank you. I don't want to cry on you guys tonight, but I'm gonna. I know I am. I'm sappy like that. I went from a guy who was disowned by his family to having keys to all of their homes, right? I went from a guy who at one point walked up to my dad and said, "Dad, if we act now, we can get your stuff out of Hawk," right? To a guy that now is able to call my dad and say, "Dad, I love you and I care about you. I don't need anything. I just want to tell you I love you." You with me? That's what this program has done for me. It's given me an opportunity to be the person I always thought I could be, and the people that they knew I was. My parents, bless their hearts, man. They're still together, and I love them dearly. And I have that experience. And if you don't, I'm so sorry. But my parents loved me and cared for me and almost loved me to death. You with me? They almost loved me to death. And it wasn't until they found Al-Anon... Al-Anon, man, I fucking hate. Yeah. I gotta get that off of tape, man. It wasn't until they found Al-Anon that I got better. Yeah? And that's part of my story. Part of my story is when I get here, I'm at the last house on the block and I don't even know it, man. I don't even know it. I needed to be here, and this place was here for me, and I'm eternally grateful that they're still here, and I get to come back and do this. When I got here, I was delusional. When I got here, I didn't understand what AA really was and what the 12 steps really were and what Cocaine Anonymous really... I didn't understand what it really was, because for 20 years, I would walk into a meeting room and I would hear about how your cat was ripping up your furniture. I would hear... I know, right? I would hear about how Becky forgot to put the sugar in the tea. Right? And Becky, if you're in here, I'm sorry. I would go to a meeting and I would hear a little old guy sitting over in the back corner, and he would say out loud, "Well, you just got to put the plug in the jug." And I wanted to kill him. I would hear the little old lady sitting over in that corner, and she would say out loud, "Well, just don't drink no matter what." And I wanted to kill her. I understand in theory what you're saying. I don't know how to pull that off. Because when the shit hits the fan in my world, I drink and use. And what I mean by the shit in the fan is everything's going great. Right? Or everything's going horribly wrong. It didn't matter. For me, it didn't matter. And what it ultimately boiled down to is if I can equate it to sitting in a bar with the bartender there, and somebody walks in the back door and they say, "Man, you'll never guess what happened to me. I got fired from my job today." What's the first thing I tell him? "Want to get high? Let me get you a drink." Right? Somebody else walks in the other door and they say, "Man, you'll never guess what happened to me. I found the girl of my dreams." What's the first thing I say? "Let's do it." Somebody else walks in the back door. "Man, you'll never guess what happened to me. So I got the job I was looking for." First thing out of my mouth, "Let's get it." And everything got equated to a drink or a drug. Everything. How many of y'all, look at y'all, I'm sitting here. How many of y'all know what wake and bake is? Y'all motherfuckers, man. It's my family. Waking up was a trigger all of a sudden. Fuck out of here, man. Jesus Christ, man. I can't go there. It's a trigger. I woke up. It was a trigger. Jesus. I can't leave my house today because there's a giant billboard that advertises Crown Royal. I'm telling you, I don't know how I make it out of my house besides this program and the people sitting in these chairs, right? I need you. It was funny. It was funny to me. I sat back there listening. I knew y'all did this because I've been here before. But I kept listening to y'all. In the beginning of the 12 steps, y'all say, "One, we," right? And y'all did that strong. And right around the middle part, like step four, y'all were like, "Four, we." Half the room dropped out of the whole we thing. And there at step 12, y'all were like, "12, we!" Like, y'all want to go from 3 to 12, man. Like, that shit, that had me laughing. Unfortunately, the good stuff is in the middle there where people fall off. Unfortunately, the good stuff is in the middle there where people fall off. And people are dying at an unbelievably rapid rate over drugs and alcohol, and it is not necessary. It is. Amen. Can I get a witness? My sponsor told me he told me a lot of shit. My sponsor said to me when I first got here, get a suit. I said, what for? He said, well, you're going to need it. I said, what for? He said, you sure ask a lot of questions. I need a suit because if I don't do this, they're going to bury me in it. And if I do this, I'm going to go to a whole bunch of other people's funerals. And that's been my story in recovery, is I'm going to way too many funerals. And it's not necessary. I've got about 10,000 sponsees out there who don't do any work. Everybody wants to call me a sponsor. You can call me a duck all you want. I'm not a duck. I'm called a lot of things simply because I'm very rigid around this work. I like to take people. This is my experience. This is my experience. I like 30 days. You got 30 days to do 12 steps. We're not going to do them perfect. I'm not asking you to do them perfectly. I'm asking you to do them. 30 days. You with me? That's it. I don't have time. We got to get through this stuff rapidly. And I didn't understand that concept when I got here. And this kid that got a hold of me, he taught me that. He had to teach me that. I'm 39 years old. This kid's 23. And he taught me a sense of urgency around this. Step one, admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. First thing out of my mouth, well, alcohol's really not my problem. Oh, really? Okay. Right now, I think there are over 400 anonymous programs. There's Alcoholics Anonymous that started it all. There's Cocaine Anonymous. There's Narcotics Anonymous. There's Methamphetamines Anonymous. Jesus Christ. They got Overeaters Anonymous, Drug Addicts Anonymous. What am I missing here? Gamblers Anonymous. Opioid Anonymous. They got People's Anonymous. For Christ's sake, man. They all use the same 12 steps. Why do you think that is? Because they work. And I never realized that. My story is at the age of 19 until I was 39, I'd come into these rooms and I'd go, nope, nope, hell no, this don't work for me, and I would leave. Right? Well-meaning people trying at every step to say, Alan, wait a minute. People like Chris. People like Dave right there. Well-meaning people telling me, wait a minute, buddy. And I would flip them off and I would say, nope, you don't understand me. I'm different. And I would go away. There's a guy right now, and come on, I'm not here to bust anybody's chops. There's a guy right now that has a detox center, he has a treatment center, he has an IOP, and he has a sober home. So he can keep you in this sort of, keep coming back, it works if you work it. Right? And I'm not mad at him, I'm just saying, like he knows, he gets it. Like, you got to do some work. And the book says on page 25, you're not going to like doing this. I used to think, why don't they leave that till the very end so at least I'll read the book? Right? 25, they say, hey, man, we got a solution for you. You're not going to like it. You're not going to like this at all. And I didn't understand that. And what this kid said for me was, is that clock right? I'm going to try to stay. Yeah, I'm going to try to stay here. What this kid taught me was, I have to look at things a little bit differently. I have to shift my focus, if you will. I have to change my perspective on what this is. And I got to quit listening for the differences and start to listen for the similarities. Right? I got to stop. I drank and used because I felt different. And I get here and I want to feel different. Like, what the... I got to look at things in a different way. It's not that we're different. We're very much, if you listen to a lot of stories around here, you'll start to hear very quickly that we are the same people. We got some fucked up stories, but we're the same people. I went to jail. First time I ever went. Anybody ever been to jail? Come on. I'm not talking about prison. I'm talking about just jail. Like a few more hands pop up. Yeah, that's good. I went to jail for the first time and the doors closed on me. And I said out loud, please get me out of here. I'll never do it again. Right? How many of y'all said that? How many of y'all went back? Some of y'all ain't never been to jail, and I want to tell your story for a minute. How many of y'all have been throwing up at the toilet after a night of hard drinking? Yeah? Spilling your guts out, talking about, please, hold my hair. And you throw your guts out, and you get up, and you're wiping off the crud, and you're like, just let me stop feeling like this. I'll never do it again. How many of y'all said that shit? Uh-huh. How many of y'all did it again? Uh-huh. Like an hour later. True story. Next night, I'm like, where are we going tonight? My buddies were like, hey, Alan, you said you weren't going to do that anymore. And I'm like, No, you don't understand. See, we're going out. I'm just not going to drink tequila. First. Right? For real. That's what this kid taught me, the difference between powerlessness and unmanageability in a way that I understood. Finally, someone spoke my language in a way that I understood. And I'm not saying that people hadn't been speaking my language for 20 years. I'm saying I didn't want to hear them speaking my language for 20 years. You with me? Okay, so finally, when I'm ready to hear the message, God put somebody in front of me that delivered the message, and it was like this. Alan, you keep saying you want to quit. Yeah? And you never quit. That's powerless. You keep saying on more than one occasion, I really need to quit doing this. And you still can't seem to pull it off. That's unmanageability. And the light bulb finally started going off for me. That made sense to me. You with me? No. It's all right. Stick around, man. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Step two says, came to believe that a power greater... Yeah, I had it right. Came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. First of all, I had to really understand what this term sanity means. Because I kept saying, well, I'm not insane. and God love them, right? The AA rooms, bless their hearts. The cocaine rooms, all the little rooms, the 12-step rooms. The little old lady in the corner, the little old man in the corner, Well, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
Expecting different results.
Wrong. For me, that's not true. My insanity is I drink and use over and over and over and over and over again. I know exactly what's fixing to happen, and I do it anyway. That's my insanity. I know what's fixing to happen. I got in a limo one night, driving a limo. My dad owned a limousine company. I'm driving a limousine one night. I am hammered. I dropped my people off a long time ago, and I went to the club because I wanted to say,
look at how cool I am.
Yeah, my limo. You're the driver, bro. Oh, shit. I got hammered. Bought me a nice sack, fat sack. Bought me a little candy. You know what I'm talking about, right? I bought me a little weed, bought me a little cocaine. Somebody said, oh?
Yeah. There's a separate meeting in the back.
Oh, damn. And I leave the club. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, there. I knew I should not be driving. I knew it. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a chance I could get pulled over. So when the cop showed up beside me and I tried to put the little blinder up, so just don't look at him, he'll go away. Just don't look at him, he'll leave, right? He said
he followed me for a mile.
He said he followed me for a mile. When he pulled me over, I got out of the limo and he said, how much you had to drink? And I said, probably too much. Oh. I never said I was a good drunk. After I failed every field sobriety test and he locked me in the handcuffs, you know, and he said, is there anything in the car I should be aware of? And I said, just my weed and cocaine. I mean, he's going to find it anyway, right? He said, I said, man, how'd you know, right? Were you watching for me, right? Because it's all about me, right? And he said, no, man, I just wanted to tell you to turn your lights on. That's how we roll in the Shire. If I would have looked at him, he would have just said, hey, buddy, turn your lights on. And I'd have got off, right? That's how it goes. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my family disowns me when I use. And yet I tell them I'm not going to use and I go use anyway. And then I blame them when they kick me out of the house. Right? That's the sanity that I need to be restored to. And I need a power greater than me to help. So, with your help tonight, you guys like the weed thing. I appreciate that. What can I use to help me stay sober? The alumni. What else? Big book. Meetings. Wait, hold on. Whoa. Look, I'm sorry. AA, y'all said CA, y'all said meetings, right?
Abstinence.
Prayer. Somebody, there you go, thank you, abstinence. I don't know how to spell, hold on. 12 steps. Fellowship. Somebody said prayer. Is that I already got that?
Actions.
Support.
Service group. Oh yeah, yeah. Service work. Home group.
Sponsorship.
You look at y'all. Sponsor.
Honesty.
Yeah, right. Look at.
God.
What about God? Thank you. I knew I forgot something. Okay, look. This is how this worked for me, y'all. This is how this worked for me. Came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. Can y'all get down with the fact that these type of things are a power greater than me by myself?
Yes.
This alumni association saved my life. Because when I quit praying to God, and when I quit reading my big book, and when I quit going to those goofy meetings, and when I quit praying, and quit working the 12 steps, quit doing the fellowship, quit my the alumni association called me and said, "Where are you?" And they held me accountable. Do you see what happened? When I have these things around me, I'm pretty good. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, because I'm Chris can tell you I'm not perfect. And he has my permission to tell you I'm not perfect. But nobody ever asked me to be perfect in this program. They asked me to get busy. They asked me to get busy doing things, or I was going away. I had to get busy doing something. Making coffee, setting up the cupcakes and the donuts and the Don't know if y'all noticed this or not, but I haven't eaten out of a dumpster in a while. I came here because I didn't know what else to do. I came here because I was out of hope. And this place gave me my hope back. They gave me all of these sweet little things we talked about, the home group, the service. Yeah, how many of y'all are in treatment? Y'all are here right now on the outskirts? They take y'all to meetings, right? Amen. I'm telling you, this place had everything I needed. Service work. At the time when I came through here in 2006, they had like president of the this was an all-male facility back in the day. And we had a president and vice president, and we had these officers. And they made you be a part of. They taught me how to do that. You with me? The point is I've got to stop sitting around here pretending like this ain't working. What ain't working is you. The 12 steps isn't the only way to get sober. It's the only way I know. It's the only thing that's worked for me. I mean, we can point you in different directions. There's people, therapy works. Believe me, I know. I need therapy every day. I can't go every day. So I came to step 3 and it said, turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. Holy, no, thank you. I don't believe in God. The God I grew up with got me molested when I was 8 years old. And I swore up and down I would never tell anybody that story. And I'm sitting in front of a room full of people that I don't really know all that well, and I'm telling you that story. Why do you think that is? Two reasons. Oh, now we're not a we program anymore? Why do you think that is?
Got over it.
Got over it. No. Thank you for playing. Someone else can connect with me, and every time I say it out loud, it relieves more of the pressure.
Yes.
You with me?
Thank you.
Every time I say that out loud, it relieves some of the pressure. And for the longest time in my life, I believed that if I ever said that out loud, it would make me less than. It don't make me less than. It helps me grow. I don't understand that when I'm here. I don't understand that. You had to teach me that. You had to teach me that. So it's my responsibility now to teach that to someone else. And if I keep my mouth shut about it, shame on me. You with me? Amen. Turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand it. No, thank you. I'm standing out there at that propane tank smoking 5 cigarettes at once because we only had a little bit of time, right? I fucking love you, God. I'm so happy to see you tonight. I looked out over the horizon and the sun was coming up. And I knew nothing about nothing, right? I'm not 16 anymore when I thought I was bulletproof. I'm 39, and 6 weeks ago, I had a loaded pistol at my head, and I pulled the trigger. You with me? And I didn't want to die. I just didn't know what else to do. Standing at that propane tank, the sun came up. That was beautiful. And I said out loud what gets me in trouble more than anything else I ever share up here. And what I said was, Mother, I need help. And I said it a little bit differently than that. But I said it exactly like that. And what I didn't realize was I finally shut my brain off and opened up my heart at the same time. And I didn't understand that. And when I said, Mother, I need help, I got it. And we can argue this till the cows come home. Somebody turned a faucet on inside of me, and it rained inside of me. And I freaked out. And I ran back in the building here, and I locked myself in my room in the bathroom because I didn't want anybody to see me crying. And I turned my will and my life over, my thoughts and my actions over without even knowing it. But it says, made a decision to do that. It doesn't say we actually did it. It just says we made a decision to do it, right? So some of y'all are stuck. Like, it'll never happen to me. So just make the decision, right? But really, what does that decision mean? Other than get your ass to work. Get to work. Because there's a bunch more steps. And then at the end, when y'all come back around and y'all say, 12, we. All in between there is the beautiful stuff called the Program of Alcoholics Anonymous in 12 Steps. And it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, not as a result of 4 steps. 1, 2, 3, 12. You got to do them all. And you get a spiritual awakening. And if you don't, let's talk about it. Because you'll be the first one I've ever heard of that honestly does this. I didn't say perfectly does it. I said honestly does this shit and doesn't have a life-shifting experience. 30 days. I'll My name is Alan Jones. My telephone number is 512-825-0772. If I can help anybody in this room, well, we're supposed to work with girls because we're girls. I'll point you in the right direction. Jesus. Oh. Holy shit, man. If I can help anybody in this room, it is my responsibility to help. It's not a mission. It's not a calling. It's a responsibility. And there's a difference. You with me? We're going to get through this stuff rapidly. And we're going to help you get to a different place. Because I need you over here, not out there. I don't need you here. I don't need you here. I need you up here. I need you in here. You with me? Stop coming back. Stick around and do some work. Thanks for having me, guys.